Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio, Kingdom Builders International. I am your speaker for the night, Apostle Keith Blanton, and I want to thank everyone for tuning in and taking the time to support us and to come out and hear what thus saith the Lord tonight. It is always a pleasure and it is always an honor to do the Lord's bidding. And I'm just excited about where we are even right now in the Spirit of God. And you that have taken the time to come hear this word, I promise you, for most of you, you're going to have an answer. You'll receive instructions or something that God would have laid on your mind. I'm sorry, just a second, I'm getting a message here. Okay, thank you. But at any rate, whatever the problem is, whatever the situations or the circumstances that you may be facing, you shall have some sort of understanding about those tonight. I would encourage you also to pass that number along right now. Invite somebody else to come online. Talk to someone that's on Facebook. Tell them that we're on the air right now. Because some people are just bewildered for an answer. They don't know what's going on in the spirit. Some people don't know the timing that we are operating in under the spirit right now. And even those that do know, some of them are unsure. And sometimes we need to hear a word that can confirm and affirm what God have already spoken to us. So at that, on that note, why don't you just think of someone that you could call or text, not necessarily call, but text or get the message to, because we're about to go in, hear what the Lord has to say tonight. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for everything that you have done already. You did it before the worlds were even formed. You spoke and you said, let there be, and it has happened, and it is continuing to happen all the way from the very beginning. And God, for that we are eternally grateful. And tonight, God, I'm asking that you would show your people, move by your spirit, open our eyes, cause us to see, enlighten us, bind every spirit of deception, bind every demonic force of unforgiveness, bind up every demon of hatred, hurt, witchcraft, sorcery, whatever it may be, God, I'm asking that the angels now would go and that they would bring every principality, every power of darkness, every ruler that's over the lives of the people that are under the sound of my voice, subject now. Bring these demonic forces subject and put them in chains. Shut their teeth up. Shut their mouths up. Shut everything up, God, that will cause distractions and that will bring forth confusion. For you are not the author nor the finisher of confusion, but of our peace. You are the author of peace. And we thank you for peace going into the atmosphere even now in the name of Jesus. And then, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for every psychic prayer that is being pulled down and annihilated right now. In the name of Jesus, I bind the witchcraft spirit that's even being loosed now, psychic prayers. We break the powers of it right now in the name of Jesus. We make every plan null and void that the enemy have purposed out of the mouth of the warlock, the witch, and every demon, God, the false prayers, the false prophecies, we bind those spirits and we break the powers of them and we break the curse and we command the doors of the enemy to be shut up in the heavens right now and pulled down out of the way. And God, we're asking that you would open up the heavens. Open up the heavens. Let there be an utterance, a real utterance of your word and the discerning of times in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you for that. Thank you. I want to thank everybody again for tuning in. Again, my ministry is Double Impact Ministries, Inc., and you can listen to us at www.gospel1570.com on Monday night, Tuesday mornings at 12 midnight, where we are on for an hour. And then those that are in Chicagoland area, you can come visit us at 7203 South Emerald Avenue every Friday night at 7 o'clock for prayer, and then we will be in the Word no later than 8 o'clock. Amen. Amen. So come and hear what God has got to say to you even then. Continue to support the ministry and continue to feed at the Lord's table, because sometimes you'll get a word that has to be nurtured, and then you may not get everything now, but you'll get something later on, or you'll get it the next message or the service that's being brought to you. Amen. Amen. I thank God for those that are on the line that are members as well and that are in the consecration that we are sharing in. I tell you that the fast that God has chosen is producing. It is producing revelation, demonstrations, and signs and wonders. It's producing results, not for us, but for the people that we are praying for. Their yokes are being destroyed. There are reports that people are returning back to their churches. And I saw someone today that returned back to church, and I tell you, it was a delight to know that God is moving by his Spirit and that people can come home, that the gates are open, and we don't want anybody to die and go to hell. I sure don't. I've been there before, and I died for about 15, 20 minutes, and I've shared that before, and I've had the experience of going to hell, so I don't want anyone to have to take that trip. If you're under the sound of my voice right now, don't let nobody tell you that hell is purgatory. Whatever hell is to them, I can tell you this, it's real. And I can promise you that there is no in between. You're just going to be stuck. You're going to be tormented if you don't get this word down in you and then live a lifestyle where God can save you and set you free. And we are all striving for perfection. None of us have arrived yet at the place that we so desire to be. I desire the righteousness of Christ. I hope you do too. But we have not arrived yet at the destination that our souls cry out for, or that God is wooing us to. We need to press into the kingdom like never before, because I promise you, and I might as well just go on and go with this, I promise you some of the things that even God spoke to me right before we took this call. And he said these words. He said, tell the people that there's coming a greater pressure, a greater fire, and he's going to turn it up even as we go into the spring and winter, summer months. The test, we don't like to hear this, are going to increase because of the elements. Listen carefully, and we're going to hit that word, scripture as well. We're going to be led right into the scripture. This is Rhema here as well. But the tests are going to increase, and it's simply going to happen because the elements are going to go to another level. Did you not know that every time a spirit is cast out of somebody in the church, it's in the earth realm roaming and looking to see who it can inhabit or that will give place to this spirit? Well, wickedness is going to increase because people are getting delivered, but many don't know that you can tell those spirits where to go. And you can lock them up, you can put them in chains, and it will take part of the stress off of you or the test from you. Once you get delivered, you command them spirits that were taken out of you not to go torment your children, not to go bother your family members, your loved ones. Lock them up in chains and preserve them in darkness, just the way Jesus showed how he did it in the scripture. If we are baptized unto sons of God, which means sons and daughters of God, then we have the same power, the same authority to be able to do exactly as Jesus did, providing he has given you the grace to operate in that particular authority. It takes power, it takes authority, it takes dominion, and it takes you having faith, knowing that whatever you ask in prayer, it shall be done unto you or toward that situation. We were telling the people the other night in service that we have the power to decree a thing and it shall be established. We can make bombs, we can do whatever it takes to blow the enemy out of our lifestyles and just begin to take the things that God has given us to possess, but we won't do it because we have not recognized the true authority down within. Nonetheless, that's not the way we're going to go tonight, but at any rate, we need to know who we are in kingdom. We need to understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness and rulers in high places. Your fight ain't against your brother or your sister. I'm preaching already. Your fight is not against your mama, your husband, and those right there in the household. It's demons you're dealing with. You're wrestling with a demon. What the problem I found is in most situations with people or so-called, no, we won't even say that, just saints, people who are endeavoring to be a saint, what I've found is that we are busy pointing the finger at the person being Satan's instrument. He's already been labeled the accuser of the brethren over in the book of Revelations. So why do we place ourselves right in the same predicament or judgment that he's in and become an accuser too? Accusations, false ones especially, should not fly out of our mouths. And I'm talking to me and everybody else on this phone. It should not come out of our mouths. Did you not know that life and death is in the power of the tongue? We should not even be playing with this thing. You've got to be careful not to be caught up in jesting and joking, especially when you have been filled with the Holy Ghost. God is looking for somebody. My Lord, he didn't took over this thing. God is looking for somebody that will stand in the gap and make up the hedge, but somebody that will also do what Romans 12 and 1 and 2 says. It says, "For I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is good and acceptable unto God." God is looking for somebody to give up the body, to give up a life of sacrifice, and so that he can come in and live inside of you and dwell. He won't come in there and give you all the kind of power you think you got and won't if you still cussing your brother and your sister out, if you still got a word that will speak a death threat over them or call them out of character. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. But watch this. The words you speak have an identity to them. They have a definition to them. And you're going to, just like any and everybody else in this Christian walk, be held accountable for the very things that fly out of the mouth. The scripture says, "For by thy word shall thou be justified, and by thy word shall you be condemned." We can't go around just letting any and everything fly out of our tongue and say, "Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking." No, 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 no. Don't do that. I have become chastened in my earlier walk with God as a disciple or as a babe in Christ when he was discipling me, and he had to bring me the hard way. And some of the very grace that I have to now walk in on my life is simply because of my mouth. I didn't give God my mouth. I thought it was all right to give you a piece of my mind or to retaliate with the tongue back then. And God would come to me and say, "Son, I want your mouth." And I would say, "Well, Lord, here, here, you got my mouth. I'm throwing it up to him like as he is, you know." But what he was saying was, "I want you to present that mouth unto me as a sacrifice. Shut up. Stop letting any and everything come out your mouth. Let me chasten your tongue. Stop saying things and then turn around and say, 'Oh, I'm sorry.' It's too late sometimes, people of God. We let any and everything fly out the tongue and don't realize the damage that words can bring into an individual's life. It can set up an offense in the heavens first, but then it can bring a judgment upon the user of that word, because God have already said, let's break it down. He took you to the beginning. Let's go to the beginning of Genesis. Genesis showed us that in the beginning, God said, God, G-O-D, big G-O-D, said, "Let there be life," or light. When he said that, it didn't happen immediately, but the process of time brought forth the light. The scripture says, "And there was light." And then God looked at it and said, "It's all good." Yeah, it's all good. But listen, the same power that God has given to you, he turned around and told you over in John, the first chapter, he said, "And as many as believed on me, to them I give power to become the sons of God," which means son's daughter, child of God. Man, woman, child of God. He says, "If you believe on me, I give you that same power." I am completely convinced everybody ain't got the Holy Ghost and God ain't dealt with them, because if they had the real power of God, he would have put a muzzle on that tongue by now. You got to, we got some people speaking in tongues, but it ain't the power of God, because if it was, some of the stuff that we have said would have come to pass by now. God's word creates. And as a prophet, now an apostle, because God has elevated me to that position, we have to, prophets that are on the phone, evangelists, teachers, whatever your office is, whatever your title may be, it's all it all still should fall under the category of bringing your mouth and your tongue subject to the Holy Spirit. We must understand that God is not going to trust us with dunamis power, the kind that can get folks healed, get demons cast out at greater levels and dimensions, if we can't learn to do that one thing, which is to watch what we say out of our mouths. I promise you, this thing is serious. This is no joke. This is why Paul told us to put away unclean talking or jesting and joking, which is not convenient. He told us not to do that and then turned around and dealt with fornication as well. We can't do those things and expect God to fruitfully move in our behalf. We want to name it and claim it and wondering why it ain't happened. Because first, no power. Number two, you're claiming something that ain't your will or the will of God. We talked about that, too, as well in Friday service. You can read about that in James, the fourth chapter, the first four verses. James, the fourth chapter, the first four verses. Well, it tells you that you want to have it, and you speaking it, but it's your lust. It ain't according to the will of God. It's not according to the will of God. God even took me all the way back to Friday. Oh, but that's all right. I want to flow with him. It's not according to your will that it should be done. It should be where we line our words up with God. Too long the saints have been compromising. Too long the saints have definitely been in the spirit of compromise and say, oh, well, God knows my heart. Well, God, you're just going to have to help me with that. Well, God says, I've already helped you. I've given you the grace, the wisdom to walk in. He says, now it's up to you to obey that wisdom. It's up to us to walk in wisdom towards those that are without. Do you not know that when we walk in wisdom towards those that are without, it is actually bringing about a change in their world as well, especially if we are doing it before God's people and doing it as unto God? We have to always be conscious of everything we do, where we go, where our feet go, because what we do can be the stumbling block for somebody else to fall. I tell you, I've been in all kind of tests over these last few weeks, but I promise you this, when God puts a law inside of you, it'll let you know, it'll come up out of your belly and into your inner ear and let you know you're wrong. Don't go that way. Stay in the spirit. Stay and live in the spirit. Dwell in the spirit. Psalms 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. He said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snares of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence, and under his wings shalt thou trust. But that's only predicated on that first verse, he that dwells, which means to live, to abide, to stay put. Don't come out of the secret place. Keep yourself wrapped up all in the wisdom of God. You ain't got time to be compromising and saying, well, God know your heart. You got to come out of the spirit sometime. You need to not be so deep. Let me tell you something. I want to get deep and deeper because the wickedness of the world is coming on strong, and I don't want nothing left in me that's going to be able to pull me out this year, next year, or however long I'm here in this God-given planet to where this enemy is turning up the heat. He wants you to fall away. He ain't thinking about your ha-na-na, your hook 'em in the side and your tongue's an needy bow. As long as you ain't got no power, he going to let you go right on ahead. Once in a while, he'll afflict you in your body, make you think you're doing something just to keep you off God. But I can tell you when you're really doing something is when you done chasing that tongue, when you've learned how to walk in forgiveness, when you've stopped murmuring and complaining, which also is the message, where we stop murmuring and complaining and knowing this, that when you murmur and complain, it stops the process of death in your wilderness. God gives you to go through your wilderness experiences so that you can endure you can come about the strength that you need to be able to cast out demonic forces. You need that. Let's do this. Let's go quickly over into the scripture because God has given me some stuff that's going to help us to understand where we are as well concerning this wilderness and where we are. Many of you, I'm going to give you just a little hint, many of you are right there at the blessing, the breakthrough. But first things first, let's go here, and then I'm going to bring you back to the blessing and tell you what God says to tell you that's getting ready to happen. Amen. We're going to start reading first at, let's go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. No, let's not do that one first. Let's go to Numbers, the 14th chapter, and I'm going to be reading from the first verse through the fourth verse there. Then I'm going to read from, let's see here. Just give me a second here. I'm going to be reading from Matthew 8 and 27. I believe that's where we're going. If not, we'll come back to that. Give me just a moment here. I want to make sure we get the scriptures right. I have them here lined up on my computer here. So, okay. Yes, God. This is going to be something that we need and we want to have understanding. That's it. Matthew 8 and 28. We're going to be there. So hold on to your hair. No matter how you got it, just hold on to it. It's yours. It's all yours. Amen? Amen. Nothing like a good laugh once in a while. Hebrews, the 12th chapter is where we're going to read to, but we're going to start at Numbers, the 14th chapter, and the word says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured." Murmured. I want you to look at that word, murmured. Murmured against Moses. That word murmured means whispered. They muttered. When I hear something about a whisper, it's almost like when a person in your face, they'll get in your face and say one thing against tell the leaders that, "I got your back, I'm right there, we all for you," but then behind your back they're murmuring amongst the congregation, saying stuff to other people within the congregation that is not pleasing, nor is it edifying to leadership or the words that they're hearing. You got to be careful of the whisperer or the backbiter. The Bible says that a talebearer bears words, and those words go down inside of the wound of the heart. And they do destruction. We have to be careful of the talebearer. We have to be careful and watchful of the whisperer. That word murmur means muttered, to mumble, to purr, crooned, seriated, babble. It means to babble. It means to grumble. It means to mutter stuff under the breath and to complain. Complaining and murmuring actually is an expression of doubt towards the Lord. "Well, Lord, I don't understand why I'm going through this and why this got to happen and why is all this befalling me?" That stops your progress of dying. Instead, what we need to do when we don't understand where we are is be still and know that we are God, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If you don't understand, just be quiet. Don't get on the phone talking to everybody about your business, because what will end up happening is you can end up getting wrong counsel, and then you miss God and the blessing pass you by, and you wonder why you miss it again, because you took heed to somebody that gave you the wrong word. Learn to get on your knees and pray and ask God. Lay your petition before him. Make your request known unto God. And then get up from there knowing in faith that he heard you as a child of God. He heard every cry. He heard the tears. He heard your petition. Get up knowing I'm waiting on an answer. He's going to talk to me, or he's going to show me the way out of this situation or what to do. You've got to get up with confidence. You can't get up talking about, "Well, I still don't know." No. Who did you pray to? Did you pray to the flow? Did you pray to your friend that you're getting ready to call because you still ain't got that quick answer? Or do you pray to a God that you know that careth about you? Well, if you've got that heart towards God and you know that he's concerned with every one of your problems, whatever it is that you're going through, then you know that the answer has already been given. So don't murmur against God. Let me finish out that verse. It says, "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron." We have Numbers, the 14th chapter, the second verse. "Against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness." And Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? O God, were it not better for us to return to Egypt? God gave me a rhema out of that and said, some people are designed and have already started to try to make ways back to the place that he's brought them out of. And their hearts, their mindset has already turned back. And what happens when the pressure gets brought to bear? And remember this, people of God, he gave me to tell you in a minute ago that it's getting ready to be turned up along through now to get us more conditioned for the summer and the spring months that are coming. And even during the test that we are going through, God says, I'm going to begin to bring fulfillment as well. Well, Pastor, didn't we just come out of test? No, you didn't come out of test. He just decided, I'm going to pour a little sunshine on you. I'm going to cause a little wealth to come your way. I'm going to give you a little relief there. He says, but I got to keep you under the growth process. I've got to keep your root system growing, and I want to kill your flesh, because the Bible says over in Hebrews, which we were going to read, and we'll get there in a minute, it says, you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, meaning you ain't dead yet. That thing that you won't let go of is still alive. It's still in you. The hate's still in you. The unforgiveness may still be there. That bitterness, that backbiting, anytime you know that you're harboring unforgiveness is when you continue to bring up a point about somebody and you say, all right, then forgive them, but you're justifying it and you keep talking about the situation. Anytime you know that a person is not delivered, they keep talking about it. If it's not a testimony in how God gave you to forgive and not bring up their negatives that have been happening to you, then you ain't ready yet. You still have unforgiveness and bitterness down on the inside. A lot of the times what we need to do is go before the Lord and renounce that. But we first have to make an announcement. The Bible says, confess your faults unto the Lord and he says, confess your sins to the Lord, and he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We have to be willing to go and talk to God. Over in Isaiah, the first chapter, around the 18th verse says, come now, around the 16th verse, come now, let us reason together, meaning let us talk about this situation that you are having a problem with. Don't cover it up, and just because you're walking around and you appear to be beautiful and strong on the outside, you talk good, your language even indicates that you are a strong man or a woman of God. It talks, you sound good, but underneath all of that is something that the Lord says, I want to get out of the sanctums of your soul. I want to get it out of the inner chambers of your heart. He said, but the only way that I can get it out is that you've got to confess it. You've got to open up to me and talk to me about that thing that you think is gone. Now, you think it's gone because you've learned how to put it away for a number amount of years. But, oh, yes, Lord, the Holy Ghost just spoke to me and says, I'm about to show you everything that's in your heart. Oh, God, that's rhema, and I know God's going to back it up. He says, I'm going to cause the heat to come up just to show you what's in you. He said that over in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, where he said, it was the Lord that led you through this great and terrible wilderness to try you, to prove to you what was in your heart, so that you could see what was in your heart. The reason that God does that is because he wants you to bring it up to him. He wants you to open it up and tell him, Lord, this is what's going on. That really made me have that attitude. I didn't know I wasn't over that yet, God. I didn't understand that this thing was still on the inside. I was walking around here superficially healed and didn't realize it. Well, I see the Holy Ghost removing that scab that's covered over an old wound and saying, I'm getting ready to dig in it, and I'm going to pull it out if you'll give it to me. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He said, but better than that, I'm going to heal that if you allow me. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll heal the land. You've got to know where you're going. He gave me to let you know one more time. You're getting ready to see what's in you. You think it's gone, but it's not. You think it's gone, but it's not. You don't need that imitation healing. Oh, Lord, I got to be real with you people. He's showing me this. If we don't get the deliverance we need right now and the healing we need for real right now, way down deep, I promise you, the Lord just said, this will be the very thing that the enemy will use to keep you going back to your old ways and desires. The enemy is going to use it to seduce you and cause cause you to keep tripping over the same thing over and over and over again. He says, I would that you would not perish. He says, I'm not slack concerning my promise, as men count slackness. And I'm long-suffering to us, were not willing that any man perish, but that all men would come to repentance. In other words, and be saved. God wants us all saved, but people, I prophesy and give you the word of knowledge that's coming in this year. People are going to have tests that they've never seen before. You're going to have wilderness experiences that you've never seen before. It's going to be turned up. The fire, the heat is going to be, oh my God, out of the norm. Even the weather is going to be out of the norm. You're going to feel the thickness in the atmosphere of sin. It's going to stink in your nostrils, but yet you're, and even those that will make the mistakes and fall over into the sin, God says you're going to become so eerie and frustrated with it. It's going to be like a stench in your nostrils, and you're hated. He says, but if you come now, you'll have the smell of it and the stench of it come to your nostrils, but it won't be because you have given place to it. You've got to come now and talk to the Lord according to Isaiah 1 and 16. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be white as wool. He wants to purify a quick work right along through now. Oh, yeah. He's, well, Pastor, aren't we getting ready to hit blessing? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. But God told me to tell you this. Oh, God, many of us are going to have to stay in a place of constant watching for the relationship that we have with him. Although you have come to a place of fulfillment and blessing, which God says is getting ready to happen, and I'm going to get there with the scripture in a moment, he says there's still going to be where you have to watch your relationship, because while you're walking in the blessing, the enemy is going to try to blindside you and steal your love. He's going to try to steal your joy. He's going to try to steal your prayer life. He's going to try to steal your chaste conversation and your peace. He's coming after the anointing. So while you're in the blessing, you're still going to have to become watchful, because most times when saints get blessed, we take our focus off the Lord and we begin to look at the blessing, enjoying it. But oh yes, Lord, yes, Lord, enjoying it, but not God. God gave me rhema just then. He said, I want you to wear this world's wealth and goods with a loose garment, like it's a loose garment. He said, I don't even want you to love the stuff that I'm about to pour out on your lives. I don't even want you to gravitate to the stuff. He said, I'm just giving you the stuff. I'm prophesying right now, rhema word. He says, I'm coming to give you the stuff just to fulfill your needs and to give you the desires of your heart, to some of you. He said, but I'm doing it because you're my people, and I want you to look good. I want you to smell good, and I want you to represent me as kingdom. He says, but don't you look at that stuff and let your heart gravitate to it. Wear it, yes. Look good, yes. He says, but get your mind off your stuff and put your mind on me. He says, because I'll keep you in perfect, which means mature, peace, whose mind is stayed on me. I got a revelation out of that. God says, I'll keep you in a perfect union or a peace, a whole peace with me. The P-I-E-C-E, not the P-E-A-C-E. The peace in mind is the P-E-A-C-E, but the P-I-E-C-E is a piece of something. He says, I want you to not be torn to pieces by the enemy, but I want you to stay in perfect peace, whole, made whole with me. Don't look at the blessing. Keep your mind on me. And along through now, before you get to the blessing, here's your word. The Lord is saying this. He says, some of you have come to the brink. You've come to the place of no return. And he says, some have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. In fact, let's read Hebrews, and then we're going to keep the rhema going here. Hebrews, the 12th chapter says, wherefore seeing, the first verse, we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight, meaning we need to get rid of some of this stuff that's weighing us down along through now. Whether or not we're getting ready to enter into a blessing, there are some things that God is requiring to us to let go of. There are some people that God is saying it's time for you to let them go. It's time for you to dismiss yourself from that particular level because your mindset is way above that which they are willing to think on. Sometimes you can be associated with people of God, that do not want to enhance themselves. They don't want no more than where they are. They love to go back to the old ways of thinking. And watch this. Once you know that God has done something in you, a great indication that your heart has been changed and that you have become renewed in the spirit of your mind and thinking, there becomes a frustration between you and the people or the person that you once was or still may be around. You can no longer talk or get into agreement with the same thing because you have been elevated in your thinking and maybe they are still on the same level that God has taken you from, or vice versa. They may be gone to another level and you may be stuck. Well, let's just hope it's just the opposite. Let me just tell you, you've gone to another place in God. And the one reason why you can't get along the way you used to is because your conversation is holy now. It's becoming holy, and now you're being looked upon and viewed as deep. You're too deep. You got too much going. Or your mindset is no longer in the conversation or the former conversations of this world. And because of that, now when they come into your presence, nothing is really going to mesh like it used to. That's because the situation is changing. You are changing. That is, if you are obeying the wisdom of God. And when you begin to stay faithful in things like that, your mindset changes, then your conversation changes. You no longer, the church used to say years ago, I don't walk like I used to. I don't talk like I used to. Well, there's some realness to those sayings and cliches, but it only becomes alive to the believer, the one that does the word and not just says it. It only becomes alive to the person that's actually doing the word. The Bible says, be ye not hearers only, but doing. Hey, your feet ain't got no business going into slippery places to where reproach can be brought on your name. I don't have time to allow shame and reproach to be brought on my name because I yielded over to something that I knew better than to do. The Bible says to avoid the very pure appearance of evil. If you know you ain't got no business going out to dinner and going no places and doing this and that, then and you ain't married, or if you married and then you going to hang out with another man and your husband is at home and y'all going to have lunch, and or you going out to hang out with another woman and your wife at home, how is that going to look if it's not business? How is that going to appear as good? Well, we don't care what people think. We just friends. No, no. See, that's what's wrong with the church now. We're careless and we forget the scripture that told us to watch how we offend our brothers, because he says that if meat make my brother to offend, then we are not walking, or thou walkest not in charity. That's what the scripture says. We are not walking in love, perfect love, the mature type love. We are to affect change, and the only way change that can become effective is that we have allowed change to work in us first. I don't know about you, but I want this thing. I want this thing called salvation. I ain't got time no more for the hitting and missing. I don't have time no more anymore for the faking. I look like I got God. I can talk the talk, but I'm walking in paths I ain't got no business in. No. We're either going to do this thing or we're not going to do it. We're either going to talk like we're supposed to talk or we're not going to do it. Is there a change on the inside of you? Ask yourself that question. Have I really yielded myself completely over to the Lord so that dunamis power can dwell on the inside of you? Let me try to hurry up and get this done here. Over the third verse says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Listen, when you're about to get to your breakthrough, and this is something God shared with me, the closer you get to a blessing is when the storms will begin to blow. Things will start shaking your cage. It'll start looking like they finna evict you. They finna foreclose on you. They're getting ready to take and cut your lights out. They're getting ready to do this and do that. All hell breaks loose. But what the enemy does is he'll start to make you focus in on your circumstances and your situations and then begin to try to work it out yourself. You'll go and try to work it out, and sometimes we compromise. And let me call such and such, such and such, and let me lean on them, and maybe we go out and get something done. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. That's not going to last long. I promise you, it won't last long. If it's not done in the way that God wants it to be done, he'll make sure that that thing will only last for just a little bit and then fall out of it. And guess what? The test will become harder because you didn't sit still and wait on him to do what he told you he was going to do. He said in Matthew, the 6th chapter, he says, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Uh-huh. He said, but seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added. I got you, the Holy Ghost said. Don't look at where you are. I want you to stay in your position, in your place. Don't leave, he says, because I'm killing you. He says, you're at the breaking point. You're at the breakthrough. You're at that door, that Baal Perazim in the spirit now. I'm talking in the spirit first. He says, I'm out after your soul to be saved. I'm not thinking about really giving you. I want to give you the natural blessing. He says, but my main concern is I want your soul saved. I want you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And the only way you're going to get the real Holy Ghost is you got to let me kill you. You got to let me kill that flesh and saturate you and seal you so that I can pour into you my real spirit. He said, but other than that, you're going to be like a tree that ain't planted. You're going to be like a tinkling cymbal. It's clink, 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 clink. You got a gift. And you can talk the talk, but there's no power. There's no demonstration. There's no purpose. Amen. Gave you Numbers 14. You can read that for yourself. Amen. And the other one was, let me show you this real quick over here at Matthew, the 8th chapter, I believe it was. And it says this, let's say at the 27th verse. It says, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now, you all know the story. He told his disciples to go over to the other side, and he got into a ship, and they followed him over to the other side. But while they were in the midst of the sea, the winds began to blow. And that's because they were crossing between two points, and the devil knew that they were getting ready to cross over into that destiny where Jesus was to meet the man that was possessed with many demons. And we're going to read that in a second. But he knew that. The enemy knew that he was on his way to his purpose. And he had also known that Jesus was about to fulfill something in destiny. Well, it's the same way with you, people of God. The devil knows that God is up to something in your lives. And because he knows that something is up, he's causing winds to blow. He's bringing seducing spirits to you. He's bringing the very things you like to draw you away, to get you out of position before the thing that you so desire should come. Over there in that book of Numbers, the 14th chapter, it talked about how the children and the women and the kids, they looked at Moses and they began to complain and say, hey, you brought us out here so that our kids could die and perish. Some of you may have an idea or desire to put your kids somewhere, to do something for them, or you women have your own desires to do something. Don't allow your storm to get you to move before the time and start making something happen that God didn't create or design for it to happen, because you can mess up the real blessing, which is going to set you up for a lifetime and take care of you and your household. Be still and know that God is God and who he said he is. If he told you that he was going to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, and he gave you a promise, you can bet and count on it that he got you. He's got you and he's taking care of you. But over here in the 28th verse, it says this, and when he was come, Matthew 8 and 28 says, and when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergeneses, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, so exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. I got something out of this. I'm going to read that 29th verse, but I'm going to share it with you. It says, and behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? You know, right when it's your time. Notice in the 28th verse, it said that these two people, possessed with devils, stood in the way and nobody else could get past them. Now, Jesus, mind you, is on his way to do something, but nobody else could pass these two people that were possessed with devils before he shows up. God gave me a rhema and says, heretofore the enemy has been standing before you, just like it was over in the book of 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, when David, oh my God, what David had to deal with Goliath. Saul and the children of Israel was withstood by the giant Goliath simply because the reproach that was on the children of Israel because of the leader at that time, they had been given over to sin. They were gossiping and backbiting, and reproach was upon them, so they couldn't deal with this giant. And also it was the set time for things to switch and to change, and God had allowed them to go no further because he had purpose. Oh, glory to God. He had purpose because David was on the backside of the desert getting made. He had slew the lion and the bear and took the sheep out of their paws, and he had proved his weapons. And then God looked and said, you know what, David, you're ready. And it's just like some of you all. You've been like David on the backside being prepared. You've been just like Jesus was when he showed up and those two demons, the scripture says everybody was forbidden to go through there. They couldn't pass. But when Jesus showed up, when power showed up, when dominion showed up, when David showed up, and it was his set time to perform, my God, he went forth and began to do what he needed to do. The scripture says that he took a slingshot and he hit that giant right between the eyes and brought him to his back. My God, but before that, Saul tried to give him his armor. And David looked at it, and he tried it on. It was too heavy for him, and he couldn't fit it. It was too big, as a matter of fact. And it's just like some of us. Let me slow down right here and work with that. You can't put on everybody's armor. And sometimes what happens is, if you right along through the time God is putting power and pressure in you, all you need to do is cry out and pray, not fear, not murmur and complain. Just go into a place of worship and praise. Let him put strength on you. You put on strength that way, but if you go the other way and start calling folks and leaning on the arms of flesh, you'll get their counsel and their wisdom, and they'll try to give you their solution and their armor, and it's too big for you. It won't even work. It didn't even work for them. It hadn't even been proven at all for them. Had it worked for Saul, it would have worked right there and then, but he didn't have the proof or the approval of God to deal with this giant, but David did. Listen, people of God, it's time for you to understand and to know reasons why you've been suffering. The reason you're going through is so that God can empower you to meet your giant that's standing before your blessing. You're on your way to destiny. Destiny, in fact, is coming to you, but it's showing up by way of storms, and the enemy wants you to look at the storm and think that it's all over. Don't you run out of your place. Don't you give up, and don't you turn tail and run, because it's right there. The storm brings you your blessing sometimes if you just be still and know that he's God. And then on the other hand, the empowerment that comes as a result of you knowing who you are and being able to come through the storm is setting you up so that you can cast the devil out of somebody, just like Jesus did with these two demons, these two men that was full of demons that had stopped up everybody's way. You've been picked out to be picked on so that you can become David's like in spirit, so that you can have Jesus mentality and power on the inside, so that you can deliver God's people. If you really want God's power, then you'll take this message to heart and know that you've been going through for somebody else, not yourself. It's killing you, your flesh, and bringing you to a place of empowerment and setting you up for the blessing. God could have released some blessings a long time. I'm talking about them real. I ain't talking about them income tax check y'all been spending. I'm talking about some stuff he promised. I'm talking about some stuff God, hey, glory to God, some stuff he didn't laid up for you, some stuff he has promised you. That's what I'm talking about. Them income tax, that's already known you're going to get that. God already knew that, and if it wasn't for him, he could have stopped that too. But he said, I'm going to let that come on through. He said, but I'm going to still come after your soul to get it saved so that I can get these people in. It's about kingdom, folks. It's about kingdom. He's looking to show himself strong in you in this hour. It's a few things you need to know, and then we're going to wrap it up. You're dying in the flesh, or your wilderness is designed to kill your flesh so that you can make it through these next 7-8 months that's getting ready to be in this year. He wants you to make it longer than that, but he's going to prepare you up the road for the greater dimension. But he wants you to understand, get a little, this next hit that's coming now, bear up under it. Don't run from it. Stay in it. Stop running, jumping on the phone, telling everybody your business because you don't understand what's going on. Stand still and trust God in that situation. Look at the word in your mind. Meditate on what he said about whatever it is you're going through, and that will be your strength. You've got to trust it, though, and don't be weary in well-doing, because you'll reap if you faint not. But if you get weary and start running, I promise you, you're going to lose fortitude, and you're going to lose your strength. Amen. That scripture over in Hebrews said this, the fourth chapter, and we're going to try to be done. It says this: looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy, the second verse, Hebrews 12 and 2, he for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of God, the throne of God. For consider him that endured, that's the key word, endure, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You got one more river to cross, people of God, and you're right there now. Press in now. Press into the anointing. Press into the wisdom, which is the obedience to the things that God has sent to you. Stay right there. Don't you move. I don't care what seducing spirit come your way. I don't care what trial come your way. Hold the altar, which is the word of God and the truth, and stay in the spirit, because it's going to net you something. It's going to produce the anointing. It's going to produce the rivers of living water in your spirit. You're being crushed in the olive press, I'd like to say. This is the last push before you go on over to that other side and start seeing fulfillment after fulfillment after fulfillment. And some of you, you don't know if God is saying anything to you or not, but just because he's a way maker, he's going to make a way out for you. If he didn't promise it, he's going to show you, because you're getting ready to get to know him as he is. Many of you, some of you are being brought into a relationship to get to know who he is. Heretofore, you've been a way maker. You've been knowing how to go get the, let me say it this way. There are some people, may not be on this phone, that got sugar daddies that know how to go get that money and do what they need to do. And then there are some brothers that know how to go do the gigolo thing and do what they need to do. But God says, I'm getting ready to bring you into covenant relationship that's going to show you that I am the one that provided for you. I am your Jehovah Jireh. I am your Jehovah Nissi. I am your Jehovah Rapha. He's getting ready to bring you that if you let him. If not, you'll go away from here not ever knowing God, but knowing your own ability. With that, people of God, let me pray for you. And let me say these few words. You're being set up for the blessing. You're being set up for the blessing. But first things first, this is the last leg of this journey. Batten down your hatches. Don't move just yet. It's coming. It's right there. I saw it even before I got on the phone. The Holy Ghost spoke it to me and told me to tell you. He's got something cooking for you. In big, bold letters, I wrote it down. The Lord is saying you are right at the place of breaking through, and that of your destiny is about to be fulfilled. That's the word he gave to me. But be still. Don't go after the counterfeit. Don't go after the false move. Don't go try and do something out of your strength and God didn't give you the instructions or the leading to do it, because that thing's going to fail and it's going to put you back at ground zero where you have to start all over again and go through that wilderness again. Amen. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, you desire and delight to bless your people. You delight in obedience, O God. Hallelujah, for you said, for to obey is better than to sacrifice. You said that, O Lord. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we're binding every devil right now, every demonic spirit that will cause us to be drawn away according to our own lust. We rebuke it, we set it afire in the spirit and cast it down and put it in chains and command it to be no more. Father, I have given them these, your people that are under the sound of my voice, your word. And Father, the same glory that you had before you ascended on high and that's in the heavens, glorify now the word in them. In the name of Jesus, and God, destroy the yokes, bind the hand of the enemy, and let your presence fall upon your people now, in Jesus' name. Give us the strength, angels. Strengthen us for this last leg of the journey. Push us over into the hands and the arms of Jesus. Our destiny awaits for us. Those that are on the other side, the souls that's looking for deliverance, they're waiting for us. And then we thank you for the blessings that's coming in advance. But we've been given instructions, God, not to focus on the blessing, but on you, what you said. And our soul salvation. You already got us covered on the blessing and what we need. And we thank you for it, Father. We set ourselves in agreement with everything you've ever spoken. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Now, I'd like to get ready to open up the lines for prayer. And if there's anybody that's looking to give their lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ right now, we want to do that. We want to take the time to open up the line for prayer so that this can be done. Amen. And that the people of God, my God, can have prayer for them and be saved. And matter of fact, we want to open the lines up even right now, period, and I'm going to pray as well. I'm hoping that my sister is still here. I think she doesn't expect me to be done this early. But if you're there, Sister Evangelist Hannah, you can go ahead and open the lines up.
The lines are open, Prophet.
Okay. If there's someone that's under the sound of my voice that wants to just have something to say along through now, or that want prayer for salvation, I want you to just say something now. The floor is open to you. Okay. Everybody don't come at once. Just come on. The door is open for you to come in.
Giving honor to God, how you doing, Apostle? God bless
hey,
you.
Hey, how are you?
I'm blessed of the Lord and you.
I'm so good. I'm good.
The word that you gave me, I received it because God had been dealing with me ever since last August about be still and know that he is God, Psalms 46. And I'm in that place, that vein, where the last 8 months God has been keeping me in prayer for 6 days, laying out before God. And the word was rich because right now I'm going through a tunnel, but I know God is going to bring me out, and I thank God for the word because it confirms what God has already put in my spirit.
Yes.
And I thank God for the word because he's confirming things that he's doing for me. And I know I'm the one that's at the brink of going over into the promised land. And that word, be still, I mean, God has so richly blessed my spirit that over the last 7 days, he's been having people from different states call me just to give me that same word. I mean, God has blessed me. So till I went into a bookstore, a Christian bookstore, and it was a tree, a plaque, and it said, be still, and it was so bold that it drew me into that plaque to let me know that God wants me, but not only me, but his people, to rest and ensure that he has their back, because this is a faith journey. and the word of God is being activated in my spirit. And I thank God for you, apostle, prophet, for letting God use you to bring the word forth, because through the word it brings deliverance. If we humble ourselves, open our heart, and receive the word, let the seed go down so that it can germinate, that it can bring forth life.
Yes. Hallelujah. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Amen. That's beautiful. I understand. Well, you wasn't put on a hold. I kind of wrapped it up a little earlier tonight so that we'd be able to give people a little chance. We still got about 20 minutes to speak on something, but I want to just give God the glory on that, in that the word is confirmation to you, and that the Lord is actually moving in your behalf, and to know that it's resonating the way it is. You said something, and it slips me just right here, but you said something that caused me to revelate, and then I got caught up in something else, but it'll come back. I'll just say this here, woman of God, you're about to end up in that season that you need to be in. Oh, God, and the Lord gives me to know this, that your roots, there have been a tearing down over the past years, and God says, I've been rebuilding you. I have been reforming and shaping you. I have been restructuring your foundation and putting you back together again. As a saying, that Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. He had such a great fall that he couldn't be put back together again. But all his king's horses and all the king's men, they couldn't do it. But Jesus said this, the fall that you have, woman of God, the pieces that he's had to put back together, he says, I put them back together the way that I wanted them to be put back together. And he says, I'm going to bring a new you out of you. And he's getting ready to bring you forth with power. And he's going to start dealing with you with wisdom keys to activate a certain level of power and demonstration with you. He says, but it's going to cost you a place of not murmuring, not complaining, not whining, not crying or weeping because of where you are, but rejoicing in where you are so that you can become empowered and stay empowered for his children of God. Amen. And you're coming up on the brink of a blessing and a breakthrough. Do not allow that enemy to move you from your place, because you're there. You're right there. Amen.
Now you just confirmed what God gave me September of 2003. Now, me and you are brothers and sisters in the Lord, because you know that I come from a bundle motherboard and Dr. Kenneth R. Collar.
Yes, sir.
And wherever God take me, I will always be a daughter of Zion. And I thank God for the man and woman of God that I was blessed to have such great mentors and father in the gospel. And that tool that he had instilled in me, those laying of hands shoot me in the spirit, it is preparing me the activation of this. But I just wanted to share with you, because I like when the men or women of God speak, you got to confirm so they'll know that they're in the vein and God is using them.
Yes.
But September 2003, the Lord gave me this after my spiritual father, Dr. Kenneth R. Collin, went home to be with the Lord. And it says here in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, and I'm just going to go down to the second verse where it says, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Israel, when I went to give him rest, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yea, I have loved ye with the everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt.
My God. That's the word.
That's a confirmation.
Yes.
Even though it was September 2000 when God gave me this word, it took some things, some breaking, some tearing, some losing some things, some people walking away from me to get back so God can renew and rebuild this house all over again. And you have confirmed where I've been for the last year. See, God pulled me off the radio, pulled me off the TV, dropped the ministry, let people walk away from me, take me and move me far away, put me in a place of foreign that I didn't know and nobody knew me, and set me so he could put me in a place where it called, be still, and know that I'm God.
Yes, Lord. Right there, I want to interject something. People of God, hear what she said. The prophet, the prophecy or the word of knowledge came to say where she had been, and then wisdom came to tell her what to do. The word of knowledge was that God tore down some things. You heard it from her own mouth, and I didn't discuss this with her. You heard it from your own mouth how the process of God, where he will remove things, remove people. She was all the way in ministry, even pastoring, and had a radio program, but God said, I was going to destroy it or tear it down and build you all over again. Sometimes, people of God, even as a beginner in your Christian walk, if you understand the process, the molding process, the making process, and you should after the night, God has a way that he brings you to tear you down, to deal with the pride in you, to deal with the many different issues in you, to kill the flesh, and to destroy old familiar soul ties and relationships so that he can develop a relationship with you himself, and then he gives you back to people. Not necessarily the same people, the same way. He does something new in you. He destroys the remnant or that foundation that you was birthed out in sin, and places in you life, a seed that bears life. And then he strengthens you. He establishes you in your salvation and your faith walk with him. And then he restores. I've had it done to me even with my own parents, my family members, and things along that line, where God allows you to go through what you call a stripping or a tear down. He is the master builder. He's a carpenter by trade in the natural, but yet in the spirit, he is the one that knoweth your frame. He knoweth your house, your spiritual house, your body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He knows you with the numbers of the hair on your head. He knows every one of them. So he says, I have to do these things because I understand what I'm doing in you. That's the key. The Holy Ghost knows what he's doing. And if we will allow the master, who is the potter, to bring forth the work inside of us in his timing, the way he wants it to happen, by following the instructions and the wisdom he gives us, in due season we will come forth and start to break forth on the left and on the right. And then we'll be able to look back and say, oh, my God, this is what you've been doing, God. You was doing all of this just so that you can get the glory out of my life this way. I thought that they were being crude, telling me, God, he wanted us to separate ourselves. Man, years ago when people would come to me and say, God says to come out from amongst them, separate yourself, do this, do that, I thought that they was off. I thought they were crazy. I said, you know what, I'm already by myself. But I really wasn't. When he starts doing that work, people of God, if you let him, ooh, the quicker you allow the Lord or you yield on the will, the quicker you come through the process. Now, it ain't going to be your time, and regardless of how fast you think you should come through.
Amen.
But it's going to be according to his time in process, because he sees everything. He can look at you and say, you're not ready yet. He can look in you and see what else needs to be broken. He knows what we are tied to and what we're not tied to, and what would hinder us in our salvation walk. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Listen, amen. I thank you for that comment, Sister Jones, and we want to make room for anyone else that wants to elaborate or say anything, or if there's someone that needs prayer of salvation or just prayer period, you can come forth now.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. Hello, Apostle. This is Yvonne.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. I want to give a testimony because you talked about yielding to God and then what God began to do for your life, and I'll just kind of wrap it up and make it quick. Friday night in service, God told me to let go of sugar, which was the very hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life. In fact, I didn't even think that I was going to be able to do it, which is why I didn't say yes, and I was sitting there shaking.
Okay.
And since I was obedient to the word, regardless of how hard it was, regardless of what the devil was saying to me, as I'd have been praying and then as I'd have been digging into my word, I can hear his voice so much louder. And I want to say on a 1 to 10 scale, I went from hearing God at, I want to say, maybe a 2 to like an 8.5. And now it's more than just hearing him. When I read the word, I can almost see visions of how he's explaining it to me.
Yeah.
And it's really a real big difference. And it's due to obedience. And like, that happened today, and I gave up the sugar Friday, and 2 days later, it advanced me spiritually. So I just wanted to give a testimony to us. You yield to God, and he'll make it more than worth your while spiritually.
Amen. Well, we thank God for that, Sister Yvonne. Many of you all that are on the phone don't know that she carried a big old suitcase of nothing but candy and junk food, and she ended up emptying it out or giving it to the kids last night. I was surprised, but the Lord had given them, hidden that vein concerning sugar and how it deals with your emotional and soulish realm and can cause you to even fall from truths because you're built up in your flesh with that sugar, and it's no good for you, your health physically anyway. You need to try to get rid of some of those sugars. Well, the Lord spoke in those terms, and he gave us much more on it. But she come out of her bag with a whole bag, and I ain't talking about no little bitty brown paper bag sack. I say a whole bag of candy.
I had $22 worth of candy in my bag.
Ooh.
That I had to dump out, give away. It even made my bag lighter when I carried it out of the church.
Yeah. Now, do you see the problem there? $22 worth of candy she carrying around with her every day.
That's a lot of sweets.
Yes, it is. A whole lot of sweets, my God. But nonetheless, just obeying the word. Oh, God, I hear you. The type of word that God is giving his prophets and apostles, real ones, or those that can hear him. Let me say it that way, because God can use anybody. He can use a false one, too. The type of word he's given in this hour is where demonstration and signs and wonders are following the word. That when you begin to obey the prophet, the Bible says you'll prosper. That means God is going to back it up, going to snap some yokes, bring some deliverance, work some miracles, and even bless you if you will just obey that wisdom that is laid out before you, because it is designed to bring you to long life. Well, as a result of her doing that, longer life is being established right now. Now, don't go back to it. Don't establish yourself in nothing else that will compensate for it. Don't even try it. Just allow God now to deal with you and show you what to put in your body. You're going to be surprised that the very weight that you've been trying to lose is wrapped up in the sugar. It's wrapped all up in them sugars and the carbohydrates, the pasta, the macaroni, the macaronis and cheese. I'm finna mess somebody's kitchen. The spaghettis, the rice, the corn, things along that line. I'm finding out more that those things are not really good for the body over a long period of time. You have to learn how to get that stuff out, do a cleansing, and then once in a while, indulge. But don't go back to do it on a regular basis. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm working on that area myself. Even as I speak,
yes,
I'm right there now. Amen.
Yes,
so
Lord.
With that said, I'm proud of you, Sister Yvonne. Keep up that work. Don't let the enemy have that back now. And when you feel yourself slipping, call on the name of Jesus first and keep calling on him. If you feel yourself slipping in any area and you're calling and you're getting weak, call somebody that's strong in the faith. Don't call nobody that's siding with you. Girl, go and get your piece of chocolate. It ain't going to kill you. The Bible says that you pray over your food and blessing, and it's good. Yeah, if God didn't call for you to give up something, get up, because he knows what's best for your temple. It's his body, in Jesus' name. Is there anyone else that wants to say anything? Quickly.
Hey, Prophet, this is LaWanda. How you doing? I'm glad to hear the word on tonight, because, man, I missed on Friday, and I sure wish I would have pressed my way through.
because mm-hmm. I was really in a situation of a frustrating moment with a friend I call a sister. And
okay.
all this you said on tonight and how to get rid of some people, some stuff, dismiss, you know, and it's like this sister, man, has been the only one out of my whole family that I just really could not dismiss. Like, I, you know, had separated myself from amongst my family, my mother, sisters, my other aunties and things like that. But I'm telling you right now, God is working on me and taking me to another level that our conversations are not even the same. She bringing up the old, you know, and still want me to be in agreement, but I can't even be in agreement with her no longer in her conversations about her boyfriend, this and all, and everything. And God has told me, I can't even go back to that. That's no longer an option for me. And because, I mean, how he's just moving so in my life, how he's changing my mindset and my thoughts and the realness of everything, that I have to get into a place and just really cry out to the Lord and ask him how to separate myself, to break that soul tie I believe I have with her. And it's,
yes, God. You still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Listen, this is what I want to give to you, if it's okay. First
mm-hmm.
thing, I'm going to pray about that soul tie. But I want to say this. While you're going before the Lord, I want you to go before him and begin to just denounce or to make an announcement to the Father through his son Jesus and saying to the Lord, I'm open for healing from any bitterness, any unforgiveness.
Yes.
Or resentment, anything that was planted inside of me because of corrupt communication, God, I'm asking you to deliver it, expose it, bring it to the top, and take it out. Because, see, a lot of the times, people of God, when we are formed in unions that God didn't really want to see in the first place, and even those that we were in that he sanctioned, sometimes we forget to protect our spiritual heart and our ear from hearing certain conversations. And what's happening is a deposit is made that is not of the seed of righteousness, and we neglect to go in and to uproot that stuff as does a gardener. A gardener knows how to get the tares out of his crop. He knows how to get the weeds out. And you do that through renunciation and confessing it before God and then allowing him to saturate you with his revelation and his word to clean it up. And then you get up with a renewed mind, and then you walk in the wisdom of God. There's a process. Maybe we'll teach on that this Friday at service, but then also that's a whole month out, so We won't say that we'll teach that on the blog talk here. That's a month out. But if you're in the city of Chicago, you know where to meet us this Friday. We may be able to teach on that. Maybe the Lord will give me to set up my conference line and do something next week as well. But I want you to just make sure, Sister LaWanda, that you open up and go before him. Isaiah told you to do, to come and reason with him. Tell him about the things that were said. God, take out those seeds that were placed in me through evil communication, because it can bring forth corruption. That's for each and every one of us. I even have to. Let me be transparent. I have to go before God and do a cleansing, a washing of my own self. I don't necessarily have to wait on God to do it, because I'm a priest now. I know how to go in and take off the filthy garments and change my own clothes in the spirit. And then if I miss anything or need some extra help there, I promise you the Holy Spirit comes in and he'll begin to assist me and bring revelation. The thing is, I first have to lay myself prostrate before him and open up to him. And I have my own wisdom keys so that I can go back and look at them. I wrote them down. I put them in my own little whatever. I ain't telling everybody that, but I put them where I put them, and then I can go to them. And I can look at them, and I can refresh myself, revive myself, so that I won't fall away. Even the Bible told you to add unto your faith virtue, add unto your virtue knowledge, add unto it wisdom and patience, add unto those. He said, if you do these things, you won't fall away. So we have to spend time building ourselves up. Nonetheless, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm praying that every ungodly soul tie in Sister LaWanda and anyone else that's standing proxy that won't deliver tonight, I'm coming against that ungodly soul tie. I curse it at the root, and I break the chains now over their lives. And I sever the bondages in the name of Jesus. And I command that every devil and every network and spirit would be severed from the root up. In the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost, loose your angels of deliverance to go into her belly and uproot each and every one, exposed by revelation, the formation that they have placed in her and anyone under the sound of my voice's mindset. Expose it and then bring them unto a place of a pure heart, God, like you can do. I know you can do it, Lord, and I know that if I asked you to do it, you will. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, and I thank you for it. And amen. I think we can take one more call and then we off. One more person to have input if you want to say anything. Hello. Anybody else have anything that they want to share or say while we're on the line?
Just God bless you and you continue to speak the word of truth and be blessed of God.
Thank you. Appreciate that, woman of God. I so do. Pray for me and pray my strength in the Lord. Is there anyone else desires prayer that's on the line besides those that go to church with me on Friday? Is there anyone else that desires prayer on the line? Amen. Don't allow fear to make you stay in a secret place or a hiding place. We're here to pray for you, not to condemn you or to beat you up. Amen. Well, with that said, I want to say this. I want to say that I thank God for Kingdom Builders International, also known as Kingdom Daughters. Amen. And I thank God for the producer and the CEO or the founder of the Kingdom Destiny or the Kingdom Builders International, because without the platform that they have set up, we would not have this particular avenue to minister in, and God have made room for us. So we send a shout out to them and we thank them. Those that would be on the line, generally if you would have given your life to the Lord, that would be some Bibles. You would be able to go online and talk to someone about having Bibles or literature sent out to you in order to keep you built up in the faith. Because once you do get saved, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation, meaning that he has been born again of his spirit. And anytime you are born again of the spirit, that means you've accepted Jesus into your life. And now you have to build him up. You have to teach yourself the things of the Holy Spirit and of Jesus Christ so that you can begin to walk with him and not against him. You need to be nurtured. So they have made provisions for you with biblical tools if you need that. I believe you can go online at I get slapped about it later. No, we want to be right here. Just give me a second. We got about another 2 minutes here. Where are we at here? Uh-oh. Are you there, Evangelist Hannah?
Yes, I'm here, Prophet.
Go right ahead and give that information, if you will.
You can go to www.daughters.org. TheKingdomDaughters.org. Put in the comment box, and we would love to send you a Bible, or we would send you an MP3 Bible. Glory to God. And just know that you accepted Christ. And you can also go to the program on demand and hit follow. If you go to the program on demand and hit follow, Blog Talk will automatically, once a month, when the prophet is coming up, it will automatically email you and let you know, and you can be a follower that follows him through the internet. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for that. Well, if that is it, if there's, I'm going to put that call out one more time. Is there anybody that want or to petition me for prayer or to just give me your name and I'll pray for you in secret before we hang up these lines? The other thing I'd like to say as well is that you can, but somebody's trying to say something.
Yes, oh, Prophet, this is Evangelist Hannah. I would like for you to keep my brother, Marcel Hannah, in prayer. He's struggling, but he called me and he said he wanted to go to church and then he got fearful. And just keep him in prayer for salvation.
What's his name, Marcel?
Yes, Marcel Hannah.
Okay, I'm writing that down now. Anyone else? Oh, real quick. Our congregation is in a consecration, and we're fasting and praying for people. So this is the time, people of God, if you got a prayer request or somebody that you want us to pray for, they're on the line with me. Some of the members are on the line with me. Say your names now and what you want prayed for, and we're going to go to bat for you. So you got one more. We got one more little 30 seconds or so, or a minute or two, where you can make your request now. We are in that mode for interceding for people right now, where we can get something done in the spirit through fasting and prayer.
Keep praying for Calvin Caston.
Calvin Caston, G A or C A?
C A.
Gotcha. Okay. Is there anyone else?
Yes, Apostle. I would like for you all to pray. A dear friend of mine that's from Houston, Texas, her son is Patrick Herbert. He's 41, and they have given him 6 to 8 months to live. His pancreas has shut down, not working, and he's lost weight to 88 pounds. And I've been interceding, but I need everyone that can get a prayer through to pray for this young man. His name is Patrick Herbert.
Okay. I got him on a piece of, put him in the system now. Anyone else?
Yes, Prophet. Also for my grandfather, Woodrow Bailey, he's going for a second biopsy Wednesday, and then he has to start radiation.
Okay, Woodrow Bailey, biopsy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and radiation, you said?
Yes, the doctor said he has throat cancer.
I'm going to pray that God will heal that if he will give me, if the Lord touches me to pray a specific way, I'm going in there and I'm going to ask God if he will heal him of that.
Yes.
So that he won't have to have radiation, because radiation does nothing but burn you up. Some people it can help, and some others it just completely takes them out of here. It took my mother out of here from cancer. But she beat it 25 years ago, and she lived long, and she ate proper things, and then she kind of digressed and went against eating the way she should. And then it came back on her. Then she was fearful and began to want to get it out of her so bad, she went against what she knew not to do. And my mother knew. She stood before and said, I'm not taking no radiation. She took some chemo and they removed lymph nodes. But this time she took radiation, and that thing took its toll on her because they overdid it. And but she made peace with God. She's in heaven with him, and I know it to be so because God let me know it. And I have peace with that. So it's all good. Anybody else? And then we're going to call it a night. Amen. All right. Well, I am grateful again to Kingdom Builders International for the door and the opportunity to continue to go forth. My intercessors that are on the line, I hope that you were taking the names down. I've got some. If you need them, text me and let me know. I'll send them out to you so that you can begin to do this. We're going to be in intercession between the hours of 12 midnight to 6 a.m. in the morning. So, if you need to have this information, call me or text me, and I will send it to you. And we want to hold these people up in prayer. They have a petition prayer. We want to know what God's will is and then pray accordingly. Don't forget about us on Monday night at 12 o'clock at www.gospel1570.com, where you can listen to us live. I'll be on the radio program, Double Impact Ministries, Inc. And until next month, the first Sunday of each month, same time, right here, the Lord say the same. I want to say God bless everybody, and I hope you got what you needed tonight. And until then, bye-bye.